Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsor's fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get The Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Back here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning, our good friend Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and he could, of course, do the program without me, but fortunately I'm here, so I get a chance to listen right along with you. So without further ado, Joel Skousen, good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Nice to have you back.
Well, it's good to be back. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, you know, we've got another glimpse into dark side immunity within government. Occasionally this comes up. But as an introduction, let me say that only a small minority of Americans see that only liars are allowed to win the nomination for high political office in this, or any other country for that matter. In the end, it doesn't really matter who is elected president. All the major candidates that are allowed to get to the top have been co-opted by the control system and its globalist agenda. Honest statesmen like Ron Paul are shunned by the media, the powerful, and even sadly by most people who would rather be lied to about what they want to hear rather than believe the truth about our declining situation. Well, this week I'm going to give my readers a glimpse into various aspects of political lying, plus a rare view of the powers that be system of protecting their own from the consequences of their crimes and indiscretions. You know, it starts out with lying, then it progresses to corruption and to crime. That must be covered up, which is a lie as well, and that involves the judicial system. In America, it's interesting that it's mostly the few at the top that are part of the corruption racket, although corruption inevitably creeps downward over the years as underlings begin to follow the example of their leaders. And then you finally get to a situation like in Mexico where it's corrupt from top to bottom. Many of the people closest to the elite, you know, who are privy to these types of wrongdoing, are compromised into staying silent by the promises of future money, future higher position, if they play along. And on the opposite side, of course, subtle threats if they don't play along, sometimes very real threats. However, once in a while, the powers that be hire a person who won't be silent. That's how a whistleblower is born. Admittedly, a dying breed, given how they are threatened and betrayed by government agencies that are legally bound to protect them. You know, we have laws in the book called whistleblower protection laws, but it's just a sham. It's there merely to give the appearance of propriety, but in fact the same thing's going on, and we have a real live example now that's just come out. Edgar Dominic says he thought Justice Department officials would welcome information about mismanagement at the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms. Well, let me just state at the beginning that it's amazing how many intelligent Americans in government have never read the accounts of America's persecution of whistleblowers in the 80s and the 90s. If any of my listeners here are in that group, they ought to read Rodney Stitch's book, Defrauding America, full of the story of whistleblowers who were put in prison to silence them. The book is Defrauding America. It's a little bit out of date, but the thing that's up to date is the fact that we don't have very many whistleblowers in modern life. And there's a reason for that, is that the powers that be are more and more using corrupt private contractors to do the bidding rather than military men, as they used to use in the 80s, and they used to use national security to silence them from talking about helicopter pilots who had to run drugs for the CIA, and they would threaten them, you know, and tell them this was a secret and not tell them the real reason they were doing it. Inevitably, whistleblowers came out of the woodwork in bunches, and they had to be put in prison to silence them. Some of them were killed.
And then we do carry that book of Rodney Stitch's, Defrauding America. Another one is Drugging America by Rodney Stitch. Going into the fact the CIA is the largest drug runner in the country, but in the world. the American people know that.
That's right. You know, as I've pointed out in many of my cover-up stories in the World Affairs Briefs, that the U.S. has a very interesting way of playing both sides of the fence. They play both sides of the drug war. They do prosecute some drugs, their competitors. And, of course, they have a wide-open stream of approved routes for importing drugs, and DIA higher-ups know about it. INS and Customs know about it. They hide, and that's a story in and of itself. They also play both sides of the fence on terrorism. They have their own terrorists that they use for political purposes, such as 9/11, to pull off a job like that, and then they have terrorists that aren't under their control that they prosecute. So the American people only see one side of the most good side of the story, and but there are people inside government who see the other side, and they have to be threatened to keep silent or corrupted. Dominic says, you know, I realized I was committing career suicide at the time, but I felt I had a moral obligation as the deputy director. Now, here's the deputy director to protect the ATF men, women, and the agency. Now, that gives me a little bit of pause in the sense I don't know how you could be deputy director and have respect for this agency that has had a vendetta against lawful gun owners for many, many years. And, of course, you know, the Washington Post even was forced to cover this story, but they didn't tell the goodies, the real inside information, and I found a whole plethora of good stuff on the Empty Wheel blog. You know, this is one of the critics of the Bush administration, unfearing of the consequences. Well, you know, perhaps not totally unfearing, in the sense that when a web blog has to use a pseudonym like Empty Wheel instead of your real name, then you're obviously having to fear a little bit for your life. Anyway, it begins with a relevant question. Who is Carl Truscott, and why did the Bush Department of Justice protect him? So this is the story of the former head of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF, who in 2006 resigned under pressure for financial and other mismanagement abuses at ATF. And Dominic just complained against Truscott, the normal litany of things that are typical of these kinds of fat cats in government, creating your own personal security detail, dragging official photographers to all his events, building a gym expansion in the building that was going to be torn down in 2 years later, adding a $4 million in design changes to the new BATF headquarters, including a major praise of George Bush and plaques with quotes from George Bush all around, hiring an unqualified former co-worker as an assistant director position. But, of course, one of the best examples of Truscott's egomania was the way he invited his buddies over for lunch on the BATF's ticket or on their bill. On numerous occasions, says the complaint, during Director Truscott's tenure, has invited individuals representing private corporations and businesses with no apparent connection to ongoing contracts or activities with ATF to have lunch at government expense at his office or nearby restaurant.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen, right here at the American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Everybody with a yard probably has something buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talkie tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, want a bottle?
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon, wake up.
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best-maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum, hear a hissing noise, see bubbling earth or water, vegetation that's dead or dying, or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate, and don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately and call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry.
and is a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here with Joel Skousen. We're talking about whistleblowers and their fate, and certainly what happened to the fellow who tried to blow the whistle on what was taking place at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Go right ahead, Joel.
Yes, we're talking about Director Truscott, who was essentially... his background is very interesting because he was part of Secret Service there at the White House under Clinton and Bush, and then he got a plush job over at ATF. And, you know, this the quote here about him inviting individuals representing private corporations and business with no apparent connection to ongoing contracts or activities with ATF to have lunch at government expense is a very interesting comment. It appears somewhat innocuous. He's having some friends over for lunch at government expense. That isn't so bad. But it is when you understand what's going on here. There's another statement that says many of these individuals are former members of the Secret Service who were referred to him by retired or current Secret Service members. Now, this gave me the first real hint that this guy was part of the Dark Side Club. I had related on my website and perhaps on one of your show before my experience with a whistleblower who was a undercover agent for the FBI who uncovered a plot to kill President Reagan as part of the El Salvadoran communists that he was infiltrating. And suddenly the FBI agent wasn't interested in that and started to not pay him anymore, claimed that he lost all his paperwork and the documentation, things that were just knowingly false. And I went down to Houston and interviewed this agent because he was trying to get paid by the government, and found out the government knew very well who he was, because when I called through a fellow CIA agent friend of mine in Washington and called the CIA or the FBI, boy, all hell broke loose when he gave that code name of who he was inquiring about. And I had a big to-do with the FBI over trying to get me to where I got this code name. Well, in any case, I knew that there was a hornet's nest going on. I went down and interviewed this guy, and he talked about having been invited by his FBI handler to a late-night social get-together at a private home where the FBI agent, after he'd had several drinks, was talking about that guy's INS and that guy's DEA and that guy's CIA and that guy's, you know, and Congress doesn't even know about us. We are off the budget. We have our own money that comes through drugs. And he was talking about how this dark side operates, how they had this special ring that they wore to identify who was part of this multidisciplinary dark side enforcement agency of the government, and they were proud to be part of this. And this is what this looks like. The Truscott is part of this. SS is part of this, or the Secret Service. Not all agents in the Secret Service are part of the dark side. You know, they're white side agents in the CIA and the FBI and the Secret Service and the DEA, good people, honest people. But there are also dark side agents who are let into a club, those that are particularly unprincipled and who will keep secrets. But even the good guys in the Secret Service have a lot of sleazy secrets about presidential misconduct in the White House that they're supposed to keep secrets about. Past top officials in the Secret Service have even participated in covering up for government participation in things like the JFK assassination and the Reagan assassination attempt, which the Secret Service was very much involved in. In any case, the complaint goes on to explain that Trust Cut's financial mismanagement resulted in a net $20 million loss in ATF's operating budget in fiscal year 2006, leading to shortages of key equipment and capabilities. You know, while Trescott's financial indiscretions were bad, they are not atypical for high government bureaucrats who regularly waste the taxpayers' money. You know, even Congress has its junkets. But that's what's telling about the story, which the Post leaves out, is the retaliation from the Department of Justice under Bush loyalist Attorney General Gonzales. In other words, they retaliated against this whistleblower, and there's a reason. In spite of Domenech's documentation of these abuses, which were confirmed by the Office of the Investigative Counsel, the Department of Justice protected Trescott. For example, in late 2006 and early 2007, Dominic and Director of Field Operations twice approached the Deputy Attorney General's office with the problems but got no response. Dominic again approached the DAG in February 2000 but was dismissed. Trescott resigned in August 2007, just recently, but even after that, DOG protected Trescott. In May 2007, Trescott's replacement, Michael Sullivan, invited Trescott to the department's annual memorial service. Now, this is after Trescott had resigned in disgrace. He was invited by the new replacement ATF head to their annual memorial dinner and was given an award at that ceremony and thanked him for his leadership. In other words, Trescott, having resigned to take the heat off the DOJ, was otherwise treated as one of the insiders that he really is. This is all reminiscent of another insider, Rudy Giuliani, who kept disgraced Bernie Kerik in his employ at six figures, even after Kerik's corruption was exposed and his nomination for Chief of Homeland Security was scuttled. That's always a telling figure. When you continue to keep secret relationships with corrupt people, this is like the mafia, even though, you know, they have to take their heat, or they take them down, or they let them take the rap for something, and then they continue to employ them, that tells you that there's an ongoing relationship. So why protect Trescott? This is because he's an insider and deep inside the dark side. In my opinion here, some of the commentators have said that Trescott protection came directly from the White House. Trescott's chief preparation for running BTF came from working at the White House as special agent in charge of the Secret Service's Presidential Protection Division. And after that, he was in charge of Secret Service's IT division. Now, this is very telling because Trescott has no technical training in IT, which is your electronic, technology for electronic information within the White House. What it looks like is that Trescott was, in fact, running cover for all of the illegal acts of the Clinton and Bush administration. He was, of course, began his Secret Service duties in the Clinton administration, so he was privy to all of the Clinton moral evils as well. Now, while some commentators say it's not necessarily suspicious Trescott moving from protecting the president to being protected by Bush, because Bush is the kind of guy that appoints cronies of all types, Bush may have just grown chummy with Trescott, said one commentator, when Trescott was protecting him. Well, it's more than that. Though Bush and Clinton both got buddy-buddy with the men who protected them and brought them prostitutes and keep the secrets from their wives, people like Mrs. Bush, you know, keep an apartment in Washington when she's not supposed to be at the White House. So these first ladies, you know, have got a pact with their husbands to protect them, even though they know about their moral indiscretions, because they claim they feel it's in their best interest to continue to be first lady and all the fame that goes along with that, and so they keep the family secrets. I think that's kind of a low moral stoop that one makes to protect a husband who's grossly immoral, especially using the office of the presidency to cover for those things. But Truscott himself, you see, works for and takes order from people higher than the president. So the president knows Truscott is both protector, if Bush plays along, and enforcer if the Bush gets out, if Bush gets out of line. So that's my take on it, is that, you know, these people who are the president's protectors and work for the higher-ups in the globalist establishment that control the president, they're to be handled very, very carefully. And in other words, you know, while in the White House, he was in a position to do all sorts of favors and collect all sorts of embarrassing information on George Bush, and that's one of the reasons why George Bush needs people to keep the secret as well as to protect him from exposure to those things. Truscott's abusive lunches and inappropriate hire involving buddies from the Secret Service, you know, is indicative that people on the dark side help other people. Keeping in touch with dark side agents socially is very characteristic of this inner club of government. And, you know, they know each other, or they know who they can turn to, and they also like to make sure that if they get out of line and the powers that be decide to come down on them, they hope that another member of the Brotherhood of Darkness, as you have pointed out, Dr. Stan, will give them warning that they're being targeted so they can kind of leave town, very similar to mafia tactics.
But if now, leaving town doesn't do away with the fact they've committed federal crimes, and yet, of course, they're not prosecuted. Once they retire, we simply turn our back and wait until the next crisis comes so the fellow can resign. But high government officials very seldom go to prison.
Well, that's right. And even people like Truscott, you know, when they resign, you'll find them hired back in Blackwater or some other agency within a few months after the heat is taken down. And we'll watch Truscott, and you bet he'll show up again as some other dark side agent for some other agency or for a private contractor. And that's one of the advantages of having these private contractors with who do dark side activities. The government can shuffle off their people, sheep dip them, as they call, or launder them out to another organization where they can continue to serve the dark side. You know, we saw a lot of this go on in Ken Starr's investigation slash cover-up of the Lewinsky sex scandal and the Vince Foster murder. We had Secret Service agents that were subpoenaed to testify against the president, and they covered up for him.
Sure.
So did Arkansas state troopers, except for one who blew the whistle, Bill Shelton, and then he ended up dead and led suicide committed by shooting himself at the grave site of his fiancée. Now, is that believable? Fiancée, by the way, was Kathy Ferguson, the ex-wife of Trooper Danny Ferguson, and Kathy Ferguson blew the whistle on her husband for pimping for Clinton in the Paula Jones case. And then she supposedly committed suicide next to her packed travel bags heading out of town. Now, does that look suspicious or what?
Well, there are not a lot of people who die under very, very mysterious circumstances, and nobody ever bothers to cover up. Over 100, as you pointed out in the past, affiliated or associated with the assassination of President Kennedy, all the people who really knew what had happened. They all died under very mysterious circumstances.
Well, you know, it was during Truscott's tenure at ATF that his bureau looked the other way while cocaine was being smuggled into Florida on CIA planes. That was something that was made public charge. You can dig, if you dig past or into the past whistleblower stories, you find the same story enacted many times as high officials in the DEA covered up where trucks coming through from Mexico, that the dogs would go, drug sniffing dogs would go wild, and when the agents would say, "We better open up this truck," no, it's been certified and sealed at the Mexican side of the border, and so we're supposed to let this through. You know, we need people like Major Jordan, you know, at the Montana Air Base, who, even though he was supposed to let through Russian diplomatic luggage, saw these great big trunks they were hauling aboard and said, something's fishy there. This is an awful lot of stuff going through diplomatic immunity. He stopped and opened it up and found all kinds of secrets to the atomic bomb plans. And the Russians called the White House, and the White House called Jordan and told him to release that stuff immediately.
Sure, that's all covered in a book called From Major Jordan's Diary, which is still available on the Internet at Amazon. So a very important book about the incidents that took place in the past, but I'm sure, right, Joel, the same thing is going on today.
And it isn't because, as most conservatives have thought, that there's a bunch of communists in the government. What these are globalists in the government who are fomenting and assisting communism to help break down the social order in the world. And then they eventually overthrow the communists to provide people with a, quote, better alternative, which is not free market. Free market's only debate. It's mostly corporate capitalism.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talkie tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, want a bottle?
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon, wake up.
There may also be buried pipelines, and even the best maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum.
Yeah.
Hear a hissing noise. See bubbling earth or water. Vegetation that's dead or dying. Or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate. And don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately and call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
Stop living with pain. Discover MagnetiCare Cell Activating Liquid Complex and RX Magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare Liquid Complex, cream, or RX Magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343. How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from the World Affairs Brief. And Joel, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they can perhaps subscribe to your newsletter, get your information?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. My newsletter is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. On the front page, you'll see a synopsis of the current World Affairs Brief. Done a lot of commentary on media manipulation of the election, and they've got what they want now. Of course, I've also done a lot of work on concentrating. In fact, my major thrust of the World Affairs Brief is inserting into my news commentary the things that the media purposely leaves out of the news, even though my researchers publish on my World Affairs Brief website the best of the conventional news stories each day, on Friday I comment on these things as we're doing now and try to get in the information that you won't find in any of the stories of the day. So I encourage people to go to World Affairs Brief, and if they want a sample copy to see if they'd like to subscribe to my weekly World Affairs Brief, they can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if you forget to do that, just go to worldaffairsbrief.com, and it explains to you how to do that on the front page.
Okay, very good. Well, I certainly recommend it to our listeners. I read it on a weekly basis, as well as going to the website every day, worldaffairsbrief.com, to get a rundown on what's really going on in the world. But go right ahead.
Well, we're moving on now to the political art of lying. We were talking about the dark side of government and how people who gain high office have to have knowledge of the dark side and be willing to protect it if they don't get into high office. More Americans now are becoming cynical about what candidates say, especially when they're being told what they except, of course, when they're being told what they want to hear. It's amazing how people are just anxious to hear. Fundamentalist Christians are anxious to hear someone mention God and talk about protecting Christianity, even though it's a lie. But they're all too willing to believe the lie because it's something that they've been hoping for, to have someone of their own in government power, but it's too good to be true. For example, both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were bashing NAFTA in front of Democratic voters in Ohio. As part of the Industrial Rust Belt, Ohio Democratic voters are pro-union and opposed to, the corporate capitalism version of free trade with Mexico. It isn't real true free trade, not for the little guy anyway. But it does induce U.S. corporations to export jobs across the border to Mexico, and Clinton and Obama were outright lying, of course, and saying they would threaten to withdraw from NAFTA if suitable reforms weren't made. However, what's interesting, a news leaked out that while Senator Obama was jousting with Hillary about who could outdo the other on bashing NAFTA, Obama's staff was quietly meeting with Canadian diplomats in Chicago, assuring them that Obama had no intention of dismantling the pact, and that it was just political rhetoric. Now, we've all known this, but, Canadian television network news reported that, quote, an Obama campaign official had contacted Canadian Ambassador Michael Wilson to assure him that any criticism of NAFTA by the candidate would be simply campaign rhetoric and should not be taken seriously. Well, this created a firestorm, first of all, of denials in both the Obama campaign and Canadian Ambassador Michael Wilson denied it. And so that, Canadian television stuck to the guns. They prompted the Canadian CTV to release a telltale memo that backed up their story, further embarrassing the Obama campaign. The ambassador claims it didn't happen. However, Austin Goolsbee was the one who apparently made the statements to the Canadian's consul general in Chicago, and the the memo is the first documentation to emerge publicly out of the meeting between the advisor Austin Goolsbee and Canadian consulate member Joseph DeMora, who works for the consulate and actually was an eyewitness attending the meeting. Goolsbee, the Obama man, disputed a section of the memo that read, quote, noting anxiety among many U.S. domestic audiences about U.S. economic outlook, Goolsbee candidly acknowledged the protectionist sentiment that has emerged, particularly in the Midwest, during the primary campaign. He cautioned that this message should not be taken out of context and should be viewed as more about political positioning than a clear articulation of policy plans. Now, Goolsbee complained that that is this guy's language. He's not quoting me. Well, that's true. I mean, this is a diplomat, DeMora, paraphrasing what went on in the meeting. But it's highly doubtful that DeMora's recollection would be totally unfounded. If anything, being a diplomat, he softened the language. He obviously spruced it up to make it very careful political language. But note that Goolsbee... he said, I certainly did not use the that phrase in any way, but he didn't deny the substance. You know, this is like saying, you know, this isn't true because this isn't my language. This isn't the way I word things. Well, of course not. This is DeMora's language. He's writing a memo up the line in the Canadian government, and it got leaked. A lot of people in Canada are hostile to him, to American arrogance, and really wanted to get this thing out. Of course, then there's the constant lying about the securing the nation's border. There's no greater example of politicians lying when it comes to we're for sealing Americans' borders. You know, polls uniformly show that at least 75% of Americans want the border secured with a fence. So everyone, including John Amnesty McCain, are claiming to suddenly want to secure the border. And behind all the double talk, however, everyone involved with fencing the border keeps sabotaging the project and coming up with excuses. Last couple of weeks, I covered the fact that one homeowner was having portions of her land condemned for the fence, and it goes right up to a bigwig who owns a huge golf course right on the Rio Grande, and there's no fence going across the golf course toward the river. None whatsoever. And the fence starts up on the other side. So obviously he's a big Republican bigwig, and he gets an out on this. Now, Tony Blankley of the Washington Times, who I don't normally quote because he keeps protecting Bush, can't resist pointing out the contradictions as everyone is falling all over themselves to appear in favor of the fence. Here's what he has to say. He said, over a year ago, Congress passed a law to spend $7 billion to build a fence to secure the Mexican border. Less than 2 weeks ago, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff announced at a news conference that high-tech virtual fence project on the part of the U.S. border with Mexico was finally ready for service. And the technology was a substitute for the actual physical fence, you know, cement, barbed wire, watchtowers, etc. The secretary was very specific. He said, I have personally witnessed the value of the system, and I have spoken directly to Border Patrol agents who have seen it produce actual results in terms of identifying and allowing apprehension of people who were illegally smuggled across the border. Now, sure, some are caught, but most of the time agents can't find them once they're alerted by the sensors because of the time delay in getting to the area of the intrusion. There's no barrier to slow them down. They just go across the border, and border agents who are sometimes 20 miles away have to drive up and try to find these people out of the bush.
Well, unfortunately, they know the American people don't want to give up their sovereignty, but that's the real agenda. They're going to placate it as long as they can, and they will find a long remedy. We'll be right back.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call American Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs in high definition also available.
Columbine Hearing Center understands your hearing, speaking, and listening problems. Call highly qualified, nationally certified audiologist Michelle Gross for your hearing test, hearing aid, and listening rehabilitation needs. With 25 years of experience, you will get accurate diagnosis and treatment, undivided attention, and service. Call 303-857-6688 for a personal hands-on evaluation. Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. Financing Medicaid and Medicare available.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, pick the story up from there. Joel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. Well, Joel was just talking, certainly, about the building of the fence, the fact that the politicians are telling us they're going to do something to save our sovereignty, but the real issue is globalism. The common denominator behind everything is the New World Order, the New World Religion, and the New World Leader. But they can't tell the American people what they're really doing, because the average American wants to maintain the sovereignty of our nation. They want to maintain our freedom. They want to maintain our Constitution. But those members of the Brotherhood of Darkness who control both political parties have to placate the American people until it's too late. So pick up the story there.
Well, you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. There is a very evil agenda to this illegal alien, wide-open border situation. And on one hand, of course, they really are placating a great many American industrial people who want cheap labor. But on a larger, more global scale, they want the conflict that evolves naturally from having fairly incompatible cultures flood a country, so that you have, in a socialist country, a great deal of minority competition for socialist benefits. And that's why these judges who are in collusion continue to knock down any laws, any attempts to deny illegal aliens access to benefits and free court costs and free hospital stays and Social Security and all the other things that is causing a great deal of resentment between a clash of cultures in the United States. We're aiming for to have a situation like Europe is, with their influx of Muslims and the cultural problems involved. You know, it doesn't hurt to have a small percentage of people from other cultures in a nation, but when they begin to be larger than 10 to 15%, then you start to get major political forces being driven by cultural differences and rather than treating everyone the same. We're starting to have a great deal of crime, and I noticed even on local news you say a suspect and a person did this, and you know, and they don't say a Hispanic did this crime who was an illegal alien there. The news media is actively protecting the fact that these people who are creating a great many of the crimes are now Hispanics of a particular variety. Now, you know, I'm very good friends with many Hispanics and speak the language fluently and lived in Latin America for many years, and I don't certainly mean to denigrate all of the good people here, but clearly there is a much larger problem of criminal people from Mexico coming across the border. And then, of course, we have the terrorist problem. This is one of the most interesting things about having open borders, is that we aren't having any influx of terrorism within the United States. We only have these occasional high-profile acts, which are something that are fomented by government. We don't have small acts of normal terrorism. How hard is it for a terrorist to walk across the border and blow up an electrical pylon or a railroad track of Amtrak in the South, or put a bomb in a shopping mall? Not hard at all. You can't tell me that we have a continual threat of terrorism when we've had no normal terrorist acts since 9/11 with completely open borders. Something's really wrong with this picture, and we're being taken for a ride.
But, of course, they're using the threat of terrorism to take away our freedom. That's what the American people must understand. This is calculated. It was planned long ahead of time. If you read the writings of Richard Haass back in 1996, he was telling us about the long lines of the airport, the long lines of the federal building, and this was 5 years before the 9/11 attack, all very carefully calculated, knowing how they would utilize the fear of terrorism to get the American people to go along with the police state.
That's right. Well, switching to the elections right now, you know, Hillary's come up with three primary victories, and what it really means is that Hillary isn't going to go away, and we have to endure the agony of many more months of her highly charged political antics. Now, this ensures, of course, millions of free publicity for the Democrats as the media continues to focus every single night on the news that she said this and he said that and she said this, you know, the goings-on between Obama and Hillary. John McCain will become somewhat irrelevant now unless the media goes out of their way to promote him. Well, we did see President Bush give a gushy endorsement of his fellow neocon John McCain. Naturally, Bush focused on John McCain being the best qualified to stay the course in Iraq and beyond. At least that part was true. McCain will continue the warmongering agenda of the globalists in the false name of protecting American freedoms. Mike Huckabee is now bowing out of the race now that his role as spoiler for real conservative candidates is finished. He candidly admitted that his hope for a VP slot never really existed. He said, "I don't think Senator McCain would select me anyway. I think that it's a little almost off the chart to think that he wouldn't end up selecting me." So here's somebody who was protecting McCain the entire campaign and now comes out and admits, "Now there was no chance he was ever going to pick me." I mean, he was playing a role. He was actually in the hire of the powers that be to derail the candidacy of Mitt Romney and Ron Paul and keep any of the conservative Christians from, choosing, if it were between McCain and Romney, they would have chosen Romney. Well, not all of them would. Some of them are so hardcore anti-Mormon that they would have gone even for a serial adulterer like McCain rather than vote for a Mormon, which is a sad commentary on political intolerance within the Christian community. But it did appear that race was beginning to play a role in these two races. Ohio is fairly anti-black among its Archie Bunker type labor union people, and Texas has the race card of the Hispanics. The Hispanics have no love lost, for blacks, and so by Hillary's playing up to one race, obviously set up a natural backlash against the other. And many political commentators did point out that because race did play a role in this these particular primaries, that it does not bode well for an Obama campaign, because race will surely, even though Americans will never admit to racism, a lot of Americans aren't ready to have a black president, especially one that has so many Marxist and anti-American sentiments as Barack Obama has. Now, he's carefully hidden those, but definitely in his background.
Joel, we're out of time. God bless. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks
very much. Bye.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2008 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Sunday, April the 20th, 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in North Glen. Deadline for reservations is April the 13th. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. That's 1-800-205-6245. And hug Sameach.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed Joel. I think what he says is absolutely correct. And unfortunately, there is still latent racism in America. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live in a country where a man would be judged not by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character? And, well, maybe someday that'll come, because we're all children of God. Unfortunately, we have a situation with Obama. It has nothing to do with the color of his skin. This man's a hardcore Marxist. But then, what would you expect? I believe this whole thing is being engineered because Hillary is terrible and Obama is terrible. And, well, may not like John McCain, but we'll vote for the lesser of the two evils. Without ever understanding, he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's part of the globalist establishment. He's under their control. He's up for sale. He's been bought and purchased. And we will continue along our same programs towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, and of course, the New World Leader. Those of you who don't understand the background of the Brotherhood of Darkness need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get it for distribution at a decreased rate. You can get also the DVD. We just got in a shipment of 1,000 of them. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness DVD, which are available at reduced price. We need to get the information out in any way that you possibly can. Then our talk on the forbidden secret, which, of course, takes you into this secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years, the secret societies and the adepts and the princes of the various groups. There is a secret. There is power out there that you can get, but you certainly don't want to, ladies and gentlemen, because it comes from the dark side, from the prince of this world. If you'd like more information on it, let me suggest the DVDs that we carry, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And although this deals with the music industry, the same thing has happened as far as the political and the corporate structure is concerned. If you really want to become one of the wealthiest men in the world, all you have to do is sell yourself to the dark side. And those of you, of course, who've seen my talk on the planned police state, we talk about the wealthiest people in the world are contributing to an organization which is controlled by the Lucius Trust, used to be the Lucifer Publishing House. If you haven't seen our DVD, The Planned Police State, that's The Planned Police State, let me recommend it. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Because you see, behind everything going on is the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Please go to our website. There you can listen to our programs 4 hours a day live, or 9 hours a day on a continuous streaming to our satellite update. That's RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like a free catalog of our products, or like a DVD with a catalog of our products, we'll be glad to send you for nothing. If you'd like a health food catalog or a catalog on health products, emergency food or health products, give us a call. We'll get them off to you. And, of course, all the proceeds go to finance our ministry, to keep us on radio stations and certainly on the Internet and satellite and shortwave across America. And incidentally, if you'd like to hear our programs on shortwave, check our website or give us a call at 800-544-8927 to get the frequencies. Listen to our programs, encourage others to listen. Pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling